They lived happily ever after.
Another story!
Yeah, now Daddy needs to finish his report.
What's your report about?
Well, in the land of work, the hero said, we can raise profits with better distribution.
Well, how much you care, C.C.
That was such a good story.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Peace Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Saw some showers in the vicinity and a couple of rumbles of thunder off to the south and east. Will continue to clear out and put it to 64 by morning. South breeze overnight keeps the atmospheric moisture in place. Look for more sunshine, hazy sky, and 89 tomorrow. And the warmth of summer continues upper 80s by Thursday. The next shot of rain, not until Saturday and Sunday.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you now. Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, as it always is when Head On gets started. It is Tuesday evening. It's the 10th day of May. For those of you without calendars, I'm Bob Kincaid. I think we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. I've got a sound bite, clip, whatever. It comes from the Alan Colmes radio show, Fox Radio. And, well, suffice to say that his guest just proves so much of what I've been trying to tell you about right-wing religion industry Republicans. I don't know if you've... It happened last week that... But it's beginning to get a little traction. People are sort of looking up. Did he say that? Yeah, he said that. Neil Horsley is the guy's name. Pay attention. His last name is Horsley. And we will take a run at that. Oh, I don't know. Maybe after the bottom of the hour. I'm not sure. We'll have to find a time to wedge this in because, again, it's another classic case of the Republicans out there. You know, they're putting comedy writers out of business, and I feel kind of bad about that. But if you write comedy, you cannot keep up with the Republican Party. This one is, I promise you, a beaut. Of course, when it comes to funny stuff, I didn't get to it last night. I apologize. Chris Warner resignation, sort of, maybe, kind of, not sure letter that he sent to the West Virginia Republican Executive Committee is another real live honest-to-God hootenanny. Let's start with the first sentence. This is the salutation. Dear West Virginia State Executive Committee member, now listen carefully, especially those of you who are into things like, oh, I don't know, history. Dear West Virginia State Executive Committee member, our amazing national progress may be traced to a divine development early in our history, a two-party political system. Okay, keep it together, Bob. Keep it together. Keep it together. Our amazing national progress may be traced to a divine development early in our history, a two-party political system. For a divine development? Yeah, what? These weirdo revisionists, I guess now Jefferson and Adams were called up on Mount... Rushmore? Nah, not yet. A mountain in the east, whatever, called up on the mount and handed remember, it's divine development. They were handed the two-party political system by Almighty God. That according to this freak Chris Warner. You know, I hate it when they play fast and loose with history. Was it a week ago that we were reading from Federalist Number 10, wherein James Madison warned the fledgling nation about the dangers of factionalism and what it would do to this republic. George Washington warned against the development of political parties. James Madison warned against it. And, of course, the country quickly devolved into it. Our amazing national progress may be traced to a divine development early in our history, a two-party political system. The pressing problems of the early republic were seen to be best addressed by strong competing factions. I guess if a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, this guy's... oh, deadly. And then, of course, he goes on to prate and prattle on about how we have a one-party system in West Virginia, yada, 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 blah, 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 ignorant, ignorant, ignorant. Never noting at all the fact that classic conservative politics have been the poison of this state. 75, 100 years, for as long as there's been a state here. Whether it was conservative Republican Governor Ephraim Morgan acquiescing in sending out the national military to bomb hardworking coal miners at Blair Mountain, or whether it was Arch Moore taking payola from the Pittston Company to cover up their murder at Buffalo Creek. Yeah, that conservatism, those Republicans, they've been good for West Virginia. And he says, he asks, this is the real funny part. He asks, I now ask you to let me resign my position. My God, it's like George Washington's farewell address to the troops. It's like Eisenhower. There's everything in here but a warning against the military-industrial complex. Let me resign, please. Oh, careful, or I'm going to break into a rousing chorus of please release me, let me go. And we all know what happens when I sing. No, but he warns... He says, we know the direction to save our state, but we have a problem. Yeah, in Chris Warner's What Passes for a Mind, the direction to save our state is to what? Yeah, give the coal companies a little more free rein, make it a little easier to blow up the mountains, tax breaks all around for every corporation, and big rocks with the Ten Commandments on them in every school. We need to rid ourselves of the cancer within our party. Now, Betty Ireland, our new Secretary of State, bought and paid for by Don Blankenship, says there is no cancer. Of course, you know, when it's all cancer, when the whole party's just one big ugly cancer, I guess trying to see the cancer, let's see, the cancer within our party which aims to undermine our lofty principles. Which lofty principle would that be? Hard to figure out. I didn't know Republicans had lofty principles. Now, we know that they do go up into, sometimes they get taken up into the loft by the principal, but never mind. Let's see. Cancer within our party which seeks to appease the ruling party. Ah, okay. So I guess they weren't really happy with that nasty little bill that took away our constitutional right to sue an insurance company. Destroys our best advocates. Who in the world is that? Violates Reagan's 11th commandment. You know, you can't read anything from a Republican without seeing reference to Reagan's 11th commandment. And of course, you know what that is. Reagan's 11th commandment says, "Thou shalt not criticize a fellow Republican." Now, that phrase is just freighted with so much ugliness. Thou shalt not criticize a fellow Republican. If a fellow Republican is committing rape, thou shalt not not criticize a fellow Republican. If a fellow Republican is viewing kiddie porn on the internet, thou shalt not criticize a fellow Republican. If a fellow Republican is caught taking horse-gagging loads from Jack Abramoff, thou shalt not criticize a fellow Republican. What is a Bram, anyway, and can we talk about doing that to one on the radio? You know who Jack Abramoff is. He's the filthy, filthy lobbyist who sends Tom DeLay places like the Marianas Islands where he can argue for child prostitution and protections from the minimum wage. Yeah. I ask you to elect a state party chair who, one, is committed to the task of achieving Republican legislative majorities, yada, 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 and two, is committed to never allowing our party of principle to be hijacked. Yeah, I'm guessing Chris used the spell checker, but not the grammar checker. Is committed to never allowing our party of principle to be hijacked for the personal advancement of an individual politician. Now, doesn't that come as just a little, it hits the ear just a little bit tinny, kind of like a whorehouse piano, when you consider that Chris Warner himself allowed the party to be hijacked. Hijack! That's what you say to Abramoff. Hijack! Allowed his party to be hijacked in the name of trying to get his pitiful brother elected governor to the exclusion of ever so many other people. Oh, Lord. Oh, these are funny, funny, funny people. And, yeah, let's go ahead and I tell you what, we'll take our break. And speaking of funny, funny people, wait till you hear what Neil Horsley has to say. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey, look, it's a text message.
What's it say?
Here for you.
Really? Hey, Cellular One wants you to get the message. We're here for you. That's right. Cellular One is here for you in Beckley, Pineville, Bluefield, Welch, Lewisburg, White Sulphur Springs, Oak Hill, and more places in West Virginia and the country than ever before. The company that Beckley Register Herald readers voted favorite place to buy cellular phones is here for you with loads of anytime minutes, including unlimited nights and weekends. Plus, Cellular One's here with flip phones, camera phones, even free phones. But most importantly, Cellular One is here with dependable local customer service. Really? So get a phone, get a plan, and get it now from Cellular One, West Virginia's only locally owned and operated wireless provider. We're here for you. Bring your home or wireless number to Cellular One and get free activation and a free phone. Visit your neighborhood Cellular One store for more information.
Nearly 70 million Americans, men, women, the old, and the young, share a common enemy, arthritis. Make a difference in the fight against arthritis. Team up with Colony Drug, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's second Arthritis Walk, Thursday, May 19th, on the McManus Rail Trail at New River Park. First sign, and help fight the nation's leading cause of disability, arthritis. Form a team with your friends and family. For details, call Colony Drug and Wellness Center at 252-5305, and join us May 19th for a walk in the park.
Dad, pass the gravy.
This year, United Way helped provide shelter to over 5,808 homeless people in Columbus. To do so, we worked with scores of local businesses and government and community leaders. Together with hundreds of volunteers, contractors, and tradespeople, we put a roof over their heads. And it doesn't matter. It's not the places per se that really matter. What matters are the new leases on life within them.
Hey, Dad, it's the Nolans.
What matters, United Way.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right.
Head On with Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. A little bit of setup for you, just so you'll know what we're dealing with here. I think it was May the 5th. One of these right-wing religion industry freaks, a guy named Neil Horsley, was on the Alan Colmes show. That's a Fox radio program. You know who Alan Colmes is. He's the spineless, weak-kneed little liberal wimp who gets beaten up by every freak Republican coming down the path. So Neil Horsley is on his show because Mr. Horsley, Blucher, has a website, and there's a question with his internet service provider as to whether or not Horsley should be allowed to post the names of doctors who attend to women's health care needs on his website. And the reason Mr. Horsley does this is so that he can target these doctors. One doctor's already been killed. Now, Horsley is a religion industry freak. I mean, one of the live ones. And in the course of this debate, Alan Colmes asked him about his background, including a statement that he made that he had engaged in homosexuality as well as, sit down, bestiality. This is that recording. I couldn't make this up. Listen.
If you want to accuse me of having sex when I was a fool, I did everything that crossed my mind that looked
yes.
like it might feel good.
You had sex with animals?
As an active hedonist. Absolutely. I was a fool.
You had sex with animals?
Oh, when you grow up on a farm in Georgia, and your first girlfriend is a mule.
I'm not so sure
you didn't grow up on a farm in Georgia. Did you?
Are you suggesting that everybody who grows up on a farm in Georgia has a mule as a girlfriend?
I'm saying that it has historically been the case. You people are so far removed from the...
Look, I'll admit, Neil, I'm a city boy. I don't know a lot about growing up on a farm.
Well, hello, welcome to domestic life on the farm.
But I think for you to say...
Welcome to domestic...
There are a lot of people listening to you right... Neil, there are a lot of people listening to you right now who live on farms, are raising kids on farms, who grew up on farms... And I don't think they're dating Elsie right now. You know what I'm saying?
The fact of the matter is, don't know that in fact you experiment with anything that moves when you're growing up sexually, you're naive and you know better than that. You know yourself. If it's warm and if it's damp and it vibrates, you might in fact have sex with it.
Really?
Praise Jesus!
He didn't grow up on a farm in West Virginia. We're getting a little relief tonight, brethren and sistren. I don't know if I could have stood it if he'd said, well, if you grew up on a farm in West Virginia... Nope. Georgia gets drilled on this one. Oh, bad choice of words. What have I told you? How many times do I have to tell you that these Republicans... No, better not call them Republicans this time. Sure do got a pretty mouth. Squeal like a pig. Squeal. How many times do I have to tell you that these Republicans are sick? I mean, from the kitty diddlers to the kitty porners, some right-wing religious freak radio guy went away for 70 years yesterday for kitty diddling. Can't remember the guy's name offhand. Heard it on the news right before the story about the Renee Zellweger marrying Brad Paisley. And anyway, did you hear that? This is a right-wing religion industry freak admitting, and this wasn't hyperbole. He was being quite candid about it. His first girlfriend was a mule, said Mr. Horsley. I guess if your name's Horsley, you do what comes natural, don't you? They are sick. They are Republicans. What do you want? Don't blame me. This is part of the pathology of Republicanism and right-wing religion industrialism. You remember the protester at the, what was his name? Daggummit. At the Terry Schiavo protest that wasn't willing to carry a little cup of water to try to Terry to get symbolically arrested and instead sent his 10-year, 12-year-old boy to do it. Remember that guy? Couldn't do it himself because it would have violated his probation because he was on probation for kitty diddling? Yeah, that Republican Party. And this guy who likes to see abortion doctors shot and is more than happy to talk about the good old days when he got it on with the family mule. And then there's Alan Colmes. Did you hear the way he handled it? Play it again, John.
If you want to accuse me of having sex when I was a fool, I did everything that crossed my mind that looked
yes.
like it might feel good.
You had sex with animals?
As an active hedonist. Absolutely. I was a fool.
You had sex with animals?
When you grow up on a farm in Georgia, and your first girlfriend is a mule.
I'm not so sure that that
yeah,
is
that's
so.
You didn't grow up on a farm in Georgia. Did you?
Are you suggesting that everybody who grows up on a farm in Georgia has a mule as a girlfriend?
I'm saying that it has historically been the case. You people are so far removed from the
reality. Look, I'll admit, Neil, I'm a city boy. I don't know a lot about growing up on a farm.
Well, hello, welcome to domestic life on the farm.
But I think for you to say, there are a lot of people listening to you right, Neil. There are a lot of people listening to you right now who live on farms, are raising kids on farms, who grew up on farms, and I don't think they're dating Elsie right now. You know what I'm saying?
The fact of the matter is, don't know that in fact you experiment with anything that moves when you're growing up sexually, you're naive and you know better than that. You know yourself. If it's warm and if it's damp and it vibrates, you might in fact have sex with it.
My God in heaven. And Alan Colmes just lets him get away with it. How about a hey, you sick freak from Alan Colmes? And this guy says that bestiality, this is a quote, I wrote it down while I was listening to it, bestiality on the farm has historically been the case. Bestiality has historically been the case. That is a mainstream Republican talking there. I mean, this guy gets to talk to Falwell and Robertson and Tony Perkins, Norman, and the Kennedy down at the Coral Snake Ministries, and did I say Dobson? Sure. Yeah, beat your kids until they cry real tears. God knows what he says about doing to the family mule. I mean, this guy has the ear of the White House. This guy speaks for the moral values voters. What do you think of that? My, whoo! Holmes tries to say, you know, listen, not everybody who grows up on a farm, you know, gets it on with the family, you know, critters. And this guy who wants to shoot abortion doctors comes back with, you people are so far removed from reality. So he said, historically, the norm is bestiality, and that if you refuse to have sex with farm animals, you're removed from reality. What did I tell you about these weirdos making up their own reality? See, like I keep telling you, we're the normal ones, us liberals. We're the decent ones. We see a guy on the street with a sign and a cup, we reach in, we pull out a buck, and, you know, whatever. Try to help somebody along the side of the road. This guy sees somebody broke down on the side of the road. He wonders if they've got any livestock in the car. Oh. And these are moral people. The moral people. The good people. The abortion doctor killers. And, oh. You know, I would if we had it in here, I would bump out the bumper music we would be using. Let's Get It On by. But wait. So we don't have that, so we'll have to deal with it. Neil Horsley, Republican, mainstream Republican, admits to having sex with animals. I always wondered why that symbol was an elephant. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, I'm Peter Strauss with today's Garden Minutes from MiracleGrow.com. One of the best things about being a gardener is that no matter how long you do it or how much you know, there is always something new you can learn. For instance, did you know that there are now roses that change color as they age? Or that you can actually overwork your soil? Believe me, if questions keep you young, gardeners will never age. And who has the time to keep up with it all? The good news is that great information resources abound. Some folks actually go back to school, since many community colleges now offer courses in landscaping and gardening. Others take courses through their local county extension office. And there's no end to the number of gardening books and magazines available at your local library or corner bookstore. But one of the best resources available to most folks is the Internet. Of the countless thousands of gardening-related web pages available online, one of my personal favorites is MiracleGrow.com. It's loaded with great information to help you keep your yard and garden looking its best. There's an extensive library of articles, everything from general gardening activities and techniques to specifics about amending your soil or choosing the right plants for your area of the country. If you're looking for inspiration, check out the gardening projects or try some of the problem-solving tools this site offers. And best of all, if you can't find an answer, you can also email the Miracle-Gro folks and they promise to get you an answer within 48 hours. Is gardening great or what? I'm Peter Strauss for Miracle-Gro, inviting you to explore the universe of lawn care and gardening information available at MiracleGrow.com. Beginner or expert, whether you're looking for inspiration, helpful tips, or timely advice, make MiracleGrow.com your one-stop gardening resource.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
Talks are ongoing between the Communications Workers of America and Cincinnati Bell as the company pushes for health care givebacks. The CWA's Seth Rosen says it's hard to say whether an agreement can be reached or whether there will be a strike.
It's difficult to say. This is a company that has, you know, some serious financial problems. The management ran the company into a ditch. It's obviously not our members' fault, but we have to deal with that reality.
The CWA represents about 2,000 workers at Cincinnati Bell. Rosen says the issues include outsourcing of future jobs, and he says the union isn't saying when it will call off the talks and hit the picket lines.
Management has no idea what we'll do and when we'll do it, and we're not going to help them by clarifying this.
United Airlines filed a document in bankruptcy court yesterday defending its plan to dump pensions and calling the flight attendants union irresponsible. The flight attendants, as well as the machinists, have threatened to strike if a plan by the airline to turn pensions over to the government's Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation is agreed to in bankruptcy court this week. The two unions have found allies in Representatives George Miller in California and Jan Schakowsky of Illinois.
Author Suzanne Gordon says the nursing crisis in America is driven by cost-cutting management imposing bad working conditions on nurses at a time when we need nurses the most. Gordon's book, Nursing Against the Odds, details real-life experiences of nurses battling to deliver quality care to patients in an atmosphere that doesn't value, empower, or nourish their efforts. Gordon says collective action by nurses and allied groups is needed to turn the crisis around.
Well, I think collective action is always part of the answer, because when you work for a large institution, you have now no power on your own. And in America, if you don't have a union, you're an employee at will. So if you say to a manager or a hospital administrator, I'm worried about patient care, you know, they can fire you and you have no recourse unless you're in a union.
Gordon says there is hope that nurses will get better pay and working conditions, and that the crisis will be resolved.
All over the country, nursing unions and other nursing groups are fighting for better wages and working conditions. It's all about nurses getting together, whether in professional groups or unions, to fight together to change things. Because, you know, the one nurse can only do so much.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Washington State leads when it comes to paying IT workers. On average, software workers in the state make $94,000 per year. That's $10,000 more than the next highest state, California, and $13,000 more than Massachusetts. The national average pay for IT workers is roughly $68,000 a year. California has the most software jobs in the country with 44,000. Washington is the next highest with 37,000.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. A reminder, the phone number, of course, 252-6200. And outside Beckley, 800-620-WWNR. That's 9967 on your telephone keypad. Please make a note of it. We stream live for you every night on the Internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And through that website, you can go to mine, HeadOnRadio.com, wherein there is much mirth and merriness and carrying on to be partaken of via the message boards there. Membership is, of course, free, and feel free yourself to jump right in and do battle with our resident wingnuts, who volunteer their time, by the way, and I do appreciate it. It's boot camp for liberals. Got to learn how to fight with the wingnuts. You can also send an email, bob@headonradio.com, as well. To the phones, Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
Reasonably well. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure.
I just caught part of your broadcast, and am I to understand that someone is capitalizing on that old expression where men are men and sheep are nervous?
Well, that would now appear to be the state of Georgia. It's a one of these virulent religion industry hate mongers, a guy named Neil Horsley, oddly enough. You know, the god of irony is stalking the land. And what, you want to hear it?
Please.
Did you hear it?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, let's run this again.
Thank you.
If you want to accuse me of having sex when I was a fool, I did everything that crossed my mind that looked like it might feel good.
You had sex with animals?
As an active hedonist. Absolutely. I was a fool.
You had sex with animals?
Oh, when you grow up on a farm in Georgia, and your first girlfriend is a mule.
I'm not so sure that was so.
You didn't grow up on a farm in Georgia. Did you?
Are you suggesting that everybody who grows up on a farm in Georgia has a mule as a girlfriend?
I'm saying that it has historically been the case. You people are so far removed from the...
Well, I'll admit, Neil, I'm a city boy. I don't know a lot about growing up on a farm.
Well, hello, welcome to domestic life on the farm.
But I think for you to say, there are a lot of people listening to you right, Neil, there are a lot of people listening to you right now who live on farms, are raising kids on farms, who grew up on farms, and I don't think they're dating Elsie right now. You know what I'm saying?
Get the
idea
there, Jim. Who
is that?
That is Neil Horsley.
You
just kill it. Yeah.
And who is this man?
His name is Neil Horsley. He is a right-wing religion industry freak. He likes to have women's reproductive health physicians killed.
Okay.
He's a mainstream Republican, and he admits that he's a bestialist.
And he admits to having done this on the farm with farm animals.
Yeah, you heard it. That's from Alan Colmes's radio show on Fox Radio, May the 5th of this year, just last week.
You know, honestly and truly, something that's truly very seriously wrong with that man.
Yeah, he's a Republican.
I mean, beyond that, I mean, he must be mentally ill.
Well, I mean, he's a Republican. You've got to, in this day and age, to be a mainstream Republican, you have got to be certifiably sick.
Well, do they have ceremonies like, you know, the mafia? Do you get made with they prick your blood and burn a paper or something?
I don't know. I don't ever want to be on the inside of that.
I wouldn't either. You know, I am not a prude by any means, and I enjoy a good laugh as much as anybody, as you well know.
Sure.
And sometimes I skirt around the edge of where I shouldn't. But however, that's too sick even for me.
Well, you know, what goes on, see, and, you know, there he goes being liberal again. What goes on between consenting adults and the privacy of their bedroom or hanging from the chandelier, whatever...
Well,
if
I mean, it's, sure. That's, I mean, if it's you
between
know, whatever
mature
folks,
consenting, folks. If it's between mature consenting adults, no biggie. But I don't see how the mule that Mr. Horsley is describing, see how it works, Horsley mule.
I do.
I don't see how that critter could consent. And so, therefore, I can't say that this is okay. And yet, this guy is saying that if you grew up on a farm in Georgia. What did he say? You people, meaning liberals like Alan Colmes, are so far removed from reality that they don't understand that it's okay to get it on
for
with
bestiality.
Animals. Yeah. You know,
I wonder where Val Miller grew up.
On a farm in Georgia.
God have mercy, poor animals.
You know, but the thing you got to remember, bestiality means never having to say you're sorry. That was a joke.
Oh, too much.
That was a joke, yeah.
Lord. Okay. But, I mean, now I see where Val Miller gets this stuff.
Well, you know, they...
I mean, he's probably just, you know, they probably can.
I don't even want to take that down the road that it just begs to be taken. Nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. But, yeah, I'm just glad...
Mentally.
I'm just glad he didn't grow up on a farm in West Virginia, because it would be huge national by now, and there would be reporters all over farms in West Virginia, you know, asking. Thank God it's not us. It's so nice to see us getting some relief.
That's what I was fixing to say. I mean, normally, if there's anything that's going to be said, it's going to be about some poor person from the hills of this state. And now it's down in the plains of Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't understand. And this guy was just speaking extemporaneously to this Fox News journalist, and he was extolling the virtues of his first adolescent experiences while being a farm boy, I guess, and thought that was just something that everybody ought to know and take for granted, right?
Well, part and parcel of this is that he is a good... I refuse to call these people Christians. He thinks he is one. But he's extolling the fact, Jim, that he is a good religion industrialist, and that because he is part and parcel of the right-wing religion industry now, that all of that doesn't matter anymore. That it's okay with Jesus... that he did that to a mule now that he's part of the club.
I see. Well, you know, look at it this way, Bob. As long as and more of these people start speaking up and telling all these things, maybe people will begin to realize them for what they really are. I mean, because if I, as a neutral person, and I'm not neutral because I'm decidedly liberal, but if I were to hear something like that coming out of somebody's mouth, my first inclination would be to say this man needs to be in a mental hospital.
Oh, without a doubt, Jim, without a doubt. But again, you've got to understand that you cannot overstate the power of what these people in the religion industry believe. They would sit there and act about it just like Horsley did and say, well, yeah, but he's within the fold now and all is forgiven. You tell me how that mule could forgive.
Well, I to tell you the truth, at that statement, I am at a loss for words, and very seldom have you ever seen me in that state.
Yeah, you sound, forgive me, Jim, but you sound actually a little flummoxed this evening, and that it takes some work to do that to you.
Well, I mean, the very concept of what that man is discussing and what he is saying and just portraying other people who grew up on a farm in Georgia with family and children and farm animals, including sheep and things like that. I mean, I've heard all my life jokes about people wearing hip boots into the field for, you know, the stuff like that. Of course, I mean, I'm not, you know, that naive.
Well, and you're also a fan of good film. Do you remember... Do you remember Gene Wilder and Woody Allen's Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask?
I never saw that film.
Oh,
I'm
mercy.
Sorry,
there's
Bob.
A great scene where he says, I am in love with a sheep.
Yeah, right.
And that was comedy. And the next thing you see, he's in bed and there's a sheep and it's got a little negligee on. You know, it's funny. This isn't funny.
No, it's not. No, it's
And you've got to understand the full scope of the sickness of all of this, Jim, because not only does this guy admit to bestiality, this guy says that all is forgiven for that, but the original reason this guy was on Alan Colmes' show was so that he could discuss his right to post on the Internet a hit list of women's reproductive health physicians who need to be murdered.
You mean doctors who attend to women's gynecological needs that he thinks needs to be whacked?
Yeah.
You mean he actually put a list like that on the Internet?
Yeah, and one of them's already been killed.
and people like this are allowed to remain at liberty?
This is Jim, please. I mean no ill.
I hear things every day, and
this
you know,
is
like
the
I
Republic.
Said, I am no stranger to bizarre things, but I mean, how in the world can you put a hit list on the internet in the public domain and not be put in jail?
He is. I mean, I know you think I'm over the top, Jim.
No, I'm not.
Not.
I'm not.
He
what you're saying,
he
just
is a Republican. As long as you're a Republican,
the ears of George Bush and company.
Yeah, and he can do no wrong. In the Republican Party, it's okay to post hit lists of abortion providers on the internet because you're doing it for Jesus. People think I'm kidding. People think this is some sort of a gag. It's a joke. It's not. These people are monsters.
No,
they're killers.
In the earnest, and I believe what you're saying.
You know, horror and death is stalking the land. My God, these two dead children in Zion, Illinois. You know, the irony of that is not lost on me. And it turns out the guy that's charged with the murders is a dude from Texas.
I didn't know anything about that. Bob, so many people are killed in this country every day. I mean, today I heard there were 3 in California, then 6. And, you know, after a while, you just sort of say, well, you know.
There is a sickness on this land, and it lays squarely on the doorstep of the Republican Party.
Well, you know, I've just never, I don't know, every day, I mean, it's like every day I hear of on a flash or reality reporting basis, the story of a child being abducted or someone being brutally murdered or found in a cooking pot or something like that every day. I mean, a day doesn't pass. Have you noticed that?
Oh, I have noticed that. And the thing is, every time this happens, you'll get one of these charlatans like Dobson or Falwell or Robertson saying that it's because, let's see, what was one of them? Because God has lifted the protective veil from the United States of America because the ACLU wants to make the Jews eat bacon. You know, whatever.
Well, it seems like that God may have lifted his protective veil because of their own excesses and that of George Bush.
Well, I was having a conversation with my lovely wife, Jim. And she looked at me and she said, you understand why this is happening with so much more frequency in the country. And I said, why is that, honey? And she said, because these religion people are demons. They're actually demons in disguise. They are, in fact, the false prophets and the antichrists that stalk every generation. And once in a while, they get stronger than they ordinarily are. And this is the kind of thing you see.
Well, you know, Bob, you know, it seems to me, and I'm not going to take up much more of your time. We're right at the end here, but it seems to me that ever since Bush became president and the Republicans gained ascendancy in the government, that there has been a dehumanization of the entire country as a whole.
Absolutely.
And there is a lack of compassion and a lack of just general humanity. And I think that the two elements that I just mentioned, the lack of compassion and the dehumanization, I think they both are feeders into this type of behavior. Do you think there's a connection?
Oh, you're absolutely right. When you've got a Congress that's more concerned, well, I mean, did you hear the little chat, the story last night about the little old ladies that are going to get their food stamps cut?
No, I didn't.
Well, I don't want to rehash the whole thing, but if a little old lady next year signs up for the Medicare prescription drug benefit,
then they're going to cut her food stamps.
They're going to cut her food stamps.
Because, in other words, if she's going to get some drugs, then she can't eat.
Well, they say that she'll have more disposable income because of the reduced cost of her medications. And that's just evil. Now, I got another story here. $75 billion profit is on the way for the drug manufacturers in this country because of congressional action.
Well, did you hear about the profits for the oil industry?
Oh, God, yes. We've been talking about that for a week.
You know, I'll tell you, that kind of government and that kind of loss of control and the loss of regulation of the economy, you know, really does not add to the mental health of this country.
No.
Because when people are driven mad because of bills they can't pay and the lack of security of not knowing whether or not they're going to, you know, be able to eat or have prescription medication, that lack of security can drive people crazy. Well, I mean, that fear can do that to people, Bob.
Jim, I'm not much for organized religion. We all know that. But I have some basic feelings. And one of them is that when your nation turns its face away from the people and cares more about giving a $75 billion filthy profit to the drug industry than it does, and at the same time looks at a little old lady and says, we're going to, now this little old lady I was talking about, these are statistics from the Bush administration itself. She makes $798 a month in Social Security. She has $441 in rent. She has $51 a month for three drugs. And she gets, before they take the money away, $27 in food stamps.
And they take that away from it.
They take away $17 of it. Now, when a country is more focused on $75 billion in profits for the drug manufacturers than it is on whether or not a little old lady can afford one can of Campbell's soup per day, this is a damned nation. This is a nation that stands accursed. This
well,
is a nation.
They have gained the enmity of the deity.
Yes, if the deity has any self-respect at all.
Oh, believe you me, he does.
You know, I just about gag every time I hear some filthy Republican saying, God bless America. Take a look around. I say this to the Republicans, and again, I reiterate, better start working on God forgive America, not a whole lot harder than you are on the God bless Americas.
Well, you know, there we go back to what Abraham Lincoln's saying. Are you, God is on our side, but are you on God's side? And these people definitely are not.
No.
They're the only side they're on is on what you and this fellow were talking about the other night. That green stuff that's in their wallet and the power that it can buy them. That's their God.
And it is an obscenity.
It is. It truly is. And I know the stench must arise all the way past into heaven, the stench of that sort of behavior.
How can it not?
How could it not? Really? Well, listen, again, I appreciate your letting me talk, and thank
no
you
trouble,
for your time.
Jim. Thank
and
you.
And you continue to do your good work. And don't forget, from the sparks will come the flame.
Yeah, I keep striking that flint to the steel. Take care, Jim.
Yes, sir.
All right. I mean, I ascribe to no particular religious doctrine or dogma. But for those of you who do, and I'm talking about the real followers of Christ, or the real followers of Muhammad, or the real followers of Confucius, or Hinduism, or the Buddha, or Native American religions, when you stray so far, that corporate profits are more important than a corporal body being able to eat one can of soup a day, what do you expect to happen to that people? Now, shortly after September the 11th, 2001, those filthy maggots, Robertson and Falwell, appeared together on television and said that God had lifted his protective veil from America because of the queers and the ACLU and the People for the American Way. That's why those 15 Saudis and four other dudes flew those aircraft into the into the buildings in New York and D.C. I would like to submit to you a separate thesis that shares a common thread. If there is a protective veil that extended over the United States, and one really does wonder whether there is when one considers what has happened behind that veil. You know, pick a group, black people, Native Americans, poor people, working people, you know, routinely stomped, squashed, killed, maimed, butchered. But if there is such a thing as that veil, is it not far more likely, if you bother to pay attention to any of the religious creeds of this world, is it not far more likely that that veil was lifted because of an America that has become obsessed, or at least an American government that has become obsessed with doing the bidding of its avaricious corporate owners, as opposed to doing the bidding, what did he call them? The least of these. Is that, will you grant that there is a possibility somewhere in all of that? That in abandoning the message of every great person who has ever strode this world and tried to change hearts and minds, by abandoning that idea in favor of $75 billion in profits for the drug makers, that maybe that, the veil isn't lifted. The veil is torn down and burnt on a pile of cash. Does that possibility exist? I leave it up to you. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
They were charged with finding an all-water route to the Pacific, yet less than half of them knew how to swim. They nearly starved, ran out of supplies, and failed in their primary mission. So why 200 years later do Lewis and Clark still fascinate us? Maybe it's because it was a military expedition notable for battles that didn't happen. Or because the Indians they met gave them food, horses, and guidance. Maybe it's the teenage mother and the slave who were allowed to speak their minds. Or was it because they chronicled the breathtaking and abundant American landscape? For 3 years, Lewis and Clark traveled a trail of tolerance, enlightenment, and adventure that we'd soon find out was too good to be true. It's a trail that still winds through us all. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Attention shoppers, if anyone is missing a rather plump set of love handles, please come to the customer service counter and claim them. The ample love handles were lost in the produce department where their former owner had purchased fruits and veggies to munch on during the big game. Thank you and have a good day.
Small step number 81, snack on fruits and veggies. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
You playing hide-and-seek with the kids?
No. They spilled chocolate milk on the new couch, and I'm counting so that I won't yell at them.
You bought a new couch?
Patience. Use it before you lose it.
10, 9.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For practical ideas you can use in your family, visit family.mormon.org.
WWNR Beckley. Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
He's Talk 620. WWNR Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
They lived happily ever after.
Another story.
Tiana, Daddy needs to finish his report.
What's your report about?
Well, in the land of work, the hero said, we can raise profits with better distribution.
Hee hee.
Really, dear, we'll know how much you care.
See, Steve, that was such a good story.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Saw some showers in the vicinity and a couple of rumbles of thunder off to the south and east. Will continue to clear out and put it to 64 by morning. South breeze overnight keeps the atmospheric moisture in place. Look for more sunshine, hazy sky, and 89 tomorrow. And the warmth of summer continues upper 80s by Thursday. The next shot of rain, not until Saturday and Sunday.
Thank you.
It's your second hour of the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Six and a half after eight, we are talking about this confession by this mainstream Republican that he did in fact engage in, I'm not making it up, you doubt me, I'll play the clip at you again, an admission made on the Alan Colmes show on the radio, Fox Radio, this mainstream Republican saying that, you know, he had sex with farm animals. And that he believes that that is the norm, and that liberals like me and Alan Colmes, who find that difficult to believe, are so far removed from reality. Republican reality is bestiality. You got it? And it reminded me of something, to wit, the fact that, Lyndon Johnson, and this is an old, old political story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it comes down as great political apocrypha. Lyndon Johnson in the 1940s, in the waning days of his first Senate campaign, was a few points behind his Republican opponent. And he calls his campaign manager aside and he said, I want you to put out a press release and I want you to say that LBJ wants to know if my learned opponent has stopped having sex with farm animals. And his campaign manager was just flabbergasted and he said, well, LBJ, I can't do that. We don't have any proof that he did it. And LBJ just grinned and said, I know, I just want to hear him deny it. And, of course, there's a lesson in there, and you don't need to be told what it is. The liberals and progressives who listen to this show are smart, and you can figure it out for yourself. See, that's the difference between liberal radio and conservative radio. Conservative radio is like cream of wheat that is spoon-fed to the ignorant, okay? I just throw stuff out there and let you chew on it for yourself, and you can figure out you can connect the dots. You're smart people. That's why you're liberal. But where LBJ once said, yeah, I just want to hear him not, now the Republicans are so brazen, they not only don't deny it, they embrace it. Let that sink in. They embrace it. I've got the transcript right here from the soundbite. Let's see. When you grow up on a farm in Georgia, your first girlfriend is a mule. It takes the breath away. And you know, by extension, he's saying everybody who grows up on a farm. Indiana, Texas, Iowa, Kansas. You grew up on a farm. This creep who loves the idea of shooting women's reproductive health physicians, he says that you probably did a critter or two. Is he right? I don't know. Sam is with us. Hey, Sam, you're head on. Good to hear from you.
Hey.
How you doing?
That comment from that guy just went right through me.
Well, it should. You're a decent human being.
Yes, because I'm 54 years old. When my parents bought this farm, I was 1 year old, so I've lived here for 53 years.
And I'm guessing you don't have the shared experience that that creep has.
No, and we've raised every kind of animal, farm animal, that you can think of on this farm, including sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had to help you deliver a lamb before. Sometimes they will get stuck, and you have to reach in there, and you have to straighten them out to get them out, because if you don't, you're going to lose both of them.
Right. Well, that's a caring and decent thing, and it comes with the turf.
That's right.
And, you know, the same thing for a horse or the same thing for a cow. These things happen. I mean, on a farm, you're living life, you know, where the rubber meets the road, so
that's
to speak.
Right.
Or
that's
the tractor,
right.
Or the tractor tires meet the dirt. I don't know what the analogy is.
Well, whatever. Or your feet meet the mud, mostly.
Yeah. More times than not.
More times than one, right.
And it, you know, it's an insult.
It is to me.
And it's an insult to everybody who ever works close to the earth, whoever works with the animal population that God gave us stewardship over. And this and the thing is, this guy considers himself, Sam, a man of God.
Well, I consider myself a man of God too, because I'm a Catholic, but I don't consider him a man of God.
And yet this guy has the ear of the Republican Party.
Well, there's nothing I can say about that. I mean, you can see where it's coming from.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah, but what scares me is the number of people out there that say, well, you know, you did it before you were born again, therefore it's okay now.
No, it's not okay.
No, it's not. But there are apologists all over this country that say, well, I understand now, and he's found God, and he wants to have a few abortion doctors shot. And that's okay, too. Sam, honest to Pete, I can't wrap my mind around it.
I don't either.
And, you know, at first blush, it's like, you know, you get a little cackle and a little chuckle out of it. But the longer you look at it, Sam, the madder you get.
Yeah, that's the way it'll be. I mean, I listened to that, and I said, hey, I got to call in because I just can't stand this any longer.
No, and you shouldn't. And the thing is, there are people out there that, and I want to make sure that I put this in the right light, there are people out there, working people, people who get paid by the hour or by the day, who don't have health care, who are making choices between groceries and gasoline right now, and those poor people think they're Republicans.
Yeah.
That's the Republican Party, Sam. You know, when you're dealing with Reverend Dobson, who says you need to beat a child until they cry real tears. You know, these people who advocate letting little children torment other little children on the playground with sexual epithets.
Yeah.
And now you get this. I mean, can we say anything, Sam, except that this party is, that the Republicans are morally, ethically just dead and bankrupt? Is there anything left to say about them except a eulogy over the grave?
I wouldn't say nothing over their grave.
Yeah, it's like
I just want to be the first one to put this first shovel full of dirt over top of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody better step up and save that party, or it's done for.
Yeah.
Hey, Sam, it's always good to hear from you.
All right, brother.
You take it easy now.
Okay.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let's take our break. We'll come back. More of your calls, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Like I said, it was funny at first. It's not funny anymore. These people are sick. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Did you know 80% of child safety seats aren't used properly? Make sure your kids are always sitting safely in your car. Just stop by State Farm's Child Safety Day and get a car seat or booster seat inspection from a certified specialist. Hey, at State Farm, we have kids too. That's why we say, we live where you live. And that's why, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Join us for Child Seat Safety Day at Bill Straub Insurance. Saturday, May 14th, 10 a.m. till 2:30 p.m. with free inspections from the Beckley Fire Department. Join us and protect your child.
Any of you guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even apply to messages from phone numbers, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women. If which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or at one of our fun local events.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Hi, this is Mark Anthony Farag, recording artist, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in my life, but nothing is more important than life itself. So choose a designated driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
Public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, the U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
WWNR Beckley. Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. I don't know what more to say about Mr. Horsley. You know, could you if you wrote that, a guy named Horsley admitting to what he admitted to, people wouldn't believe you. And say, you know, it's never going to work as comedy. It's painted with too broad a brush. And there it is, real, in your face. Let's go back to the phones. Chris has been waiting, and we appreciate it. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
What's going on?
I've got something about horsemen we're going to need a little time to talk about.
Okay.
AbortionCams.com.
Abortion what?
AbortionCams.com.
Okay.
This is bad. I mean, this is... To me, this is worse. I looked on a website called orboston.org. Follow the link to the. It's called the Boston Rescuer. August 2001, Neil Horsley, on his AbortionCams.com project, plans cable TV broadcast of abortion meal scenes. We have an opportunity to develop abortion abolition television programs in every media market in the nation. We don't have to wait for some angel television producer with deep pockets to come along with your help. We can do it with the resources we presently have available. Forget, this is just the beginning. To understand, you need some background. The Lord Jesus Christ is using the www.abortioncams.com website to expose the evil of legalized abortion. The Lord has a website.
Well, bless my pea-picking heart. I didn't even know he knew about the Internet.
I didn't. And it just goes on and on and on.
Oh, these people are sick, Chris. I mean, I guess people, because I speak really plainly and really bluntly and get a little, as we like to say down south, a little head up from time to time.
What's the thing that Truman said?
LBJ?
Truman said, I give it to him.
Oh, yeah, I give him hell, Harry, and I don't give him hell. I just give him the truth, and they think it's hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
exactly.
But the fact of the matter is, somewhere along the way, someone has, and I'm not the only one doing it. I mean, the whole crew at Air America is busting their hump trying to get America to see what's going on. But, you know, the thing is, doggone it, I couldn't make this stuff up, you know? I couldn't make this stuff up, and it makes me, and again, I'm ashamed of myself. It was funny at first. Now
you
it's
know,
just turning you
know,
my gut.
When I first heard that, I was like, you know, this is too good to be a hoax.
No, it's no hoax.
No, I read the transcript. I didn't see it. I'm glad I didn't. I don't want to see it. But I read the transcript. And on this same website, it has down there on the left side, excommunication of Catholic politicians. That's a link. Abortion-related violence. That's a link. Abortionist in trouble. Abortion clinic whistleblowers. Click here. Clinicworker.com. An interesting link. I haven't even clicked on that yet, I'm afraid. But he says that this TV thing that he wanted to do in 2001, it needs to be non-profit, which means you have to go and fill out some paperwork at your local cable thing.
Yeah, and have you run across his hit list yet? I don't know. I wasn't able to tell from looking at the Alan Combs transcript if it's up yet or if he wants to put it up. The way that what I've got reads, says the topic was an interesting one, whether or not an internet service provider should allow Horsley to post the name of abortion doctors on his website.
Oh.
Horsley does that as a way of targeting them, and one doctor has been killed.
Okay, I got a cable line online now, so I can be online and talk to you at the same time now.
Awesome.
And a quote here from ChristianGallery.com. KOPP, Cope, said he knew nothing about abortionists slipping in when he began scattering locations here in September 1997. I got his name from the Yellow Pages. No one in the pro-life community handed me a dossier on Dr. Slepian. That would have made my job easier. I'm going to call it the Nuremberg Files. Was a hit list responsible for the death of abortions Slepian. Now, I saw a quote that said that the Yellow Pages is a hit list. So that means they're just going to target anybody that has anything to do with it. But if you're cleaning the floors there, you better look out.
Right. Well, we know from Eric Rudolph, they will kill anybody.
Yeah.
These religion industry murderers. You know, and I can't, I think the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. When you consider, Chris, that, these people are willing to kill other people because of little masses of tissue.
Oh, this is priceless for you, Bob. Click to hear Pastor explain why church voted to withdraw fellowship from me, and it has a real media link. This is from Neil Horsley, 11/21/2002. So you can have audio of why the pastor explained why he withdrew fellowship.
Well, maybe he caught Neil in his barn. You never know.
Now, there's at the bottom of this, from orboston.org, it says, now get this, Neil Horsley, P.O. Box 1081, Carrollton, Georgia, 30116.
Still in Georgia
in 2001, so.
And no mule is safe.
None.
Okay,
you had on your CBS news, it talked about West Nile virus killing the horses.
Yeah.
So that means that Horsley, you know, maybe could have contracted West Nile virus.
Now, that's too much to hope
and
for.
And if the horse knocked him up, and there was something wrong with the baby, would the Shivos go down there and not want to unplug the baby? Half mule, half baby.
Oh, I love the way your mind works sometimes.
You just got to think about these things.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, the way these people think is one great, big, twisted, sick, the spontaneous human combustion conundrum.
I can say whatever I want. I mean, the riot has Ann Coulter, and she gets away with saying anything in a whole wide world.
Oh, yeah.
So that means I can say whatever I want.
No, really, it doesn't, Chris. Really, it doesn't. I'm not talking about, what I'm saying here is, again, we must always remember there is a double standard for progressives and liberals versus Republicans. You're right. Ann Coulter can say anything she wants. She can say things like we need to bomb their countries, kill them, and convert their leaders to Christianity. No big deal.
Every one of our natural resources. That's what they're there for.
And she can say, the only pity about Timothy McVeigh is that he didn't blow up the New York Times building. She can say that. Fred Phelps can come out and say that gay people need to be slaughtered as often as possible. This Horsley guy can come out and say that he wants to put up a hit list for physicians who need to be murdered. The list goes on and on. You know, Tom DeLay can threaten federal judges, which is, by the way, a federal crime. And again, he gets away with it. Senator John Cornyn of Texas can stand in the well of the United States Senate and say that, while he doesn't condone killing judges, he sure does understand why you might want to. Get away with it.
Abandon all hope, ye who enter herein. I mean,
now on the other hand, I open my mouth and some little bat flies out, and I can be hammered, because you see, I'm a liberal and a progressive, and therefore my First Amendment rights aren't quite as good as a Republican's First Amendment rights. And for anyone who wants background on that, I'm sure you would agree, I'd suggest George Orwell's Animal Farm.
Absolutely. I was noticing on Amazon.com last night that they have the original animated version of that on DVD now.
Oh, wow. Of course, the book.
You know, I was a member of a liberal radio talk show, Chain Gang. You know, cue Chrissy Hynde.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn, right into it. But this, I mean, we said it like what's his name? Jethro says it's madness. It's madness. I mean, we said this time and time again.
Yeah. And, you know, but again, there's that mindset, and that's what we're dealing with here, of the religion industry, right, where they say, well, you know, he confessed his sins, and they're all washed away, and he's as clean as snow now. You know, but for my part, until that mule gets to offer forgiveness, nope, sorry. And anybody that condones that is part of a dead faith. I hate to say things like that, but you know, it is what it is.
Well, there it is. It's right there in front of you.
So, you know, people need to understand, you know, I'm going to vote for a Republican because I'm a moral values voter. You know, if my side of the fight, if our side of the fight, Chris, had the sense that God gave a stomped gosling, we would have sound bites and TV ads all over the airwaves of this guy, and this is your Republican Party.
You know, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway, because I want to follow the in culture thing. They can come down here in Alabama and get me. So, you know, Horsley's wife says that he ain't bad. Bad. You know, the bad.
Well, you know,
he's got to go after the sheep.
Well, you know, I had an email, Chris. A guy wrote to me a little bit ago. He said, you know, I've met this Horsley. He said, I was in Georgia and I was going down a road and I saw a guy and a sheep and I knocked on the door and on the next door I got to and said, and I told the little kid who came to the door, I said, you know, I told him what's happened. I called the police. And he said, don't worry about it. That's just dad.
Yeah. There's a,
that's I'll a joke, Chris. Quick, that's a joke.
I'll tell you one quick joke. It's clean. Don't worry. This guy had a farm and he had a rooster that wanted to basically have sex with everything,
mm-hmm.
everything there. And the dog, the cat, everything. I mean, the chickens, nothing was out of harm's way. Cows. And he kept telling that rooster, he said, one of these days he's going to kill you. You got to stop. So one day he goes out in his front yard, and there's that rooster laying down on the ground. Looks like he's dead. Farmer walks over to him and says, see, I told you it was going to kill you. Those buzzards up there circling. And the rooster looks up. And he opens one eye and says, shut up, we're fixing the land. So that's kind of what reminds me of this Horsley guy.
Yeah, only that ain't funny.
No.
The joke is that Horsley ain't. Horsley. Shoo, Wilbur. Chris, we got a roll.
I was going to say Wilbur, but I figured you had already said it.
We got a roll.
All righty, take care.
Take it easy. And when we come back, well, there's more than this going on, and we'll talk a little bit about it. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
A company that keeps on rolling. I'm Chris Whitting with the Success Journal. Ed was fresh out of college and ready to earn a living. For a while, he ran a business selling fuel, but that venture ran out of gas. Next, he met a man who had an intriguing new idea. The man worked at a factory that made wheels. In his spare time, he developed a new way to manufacture car tires, and he'd received a patent for the idea. Ed felt the guy was onto something, So he joined the new venture, based in Springfield, Ohio. Sure enough, those tires got around fast. Before long, they sold thousands of them. Ed Kelly took over the business, and soon, the company changed its name to one you probably know, Kelly Springfield. It's now a high roller. With the Success Journal, I'm Chris Whitting.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. Call now, use your credit card, and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips Booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call now, 800-248-5568. That's 800-248-5568.
Don't let the recent news about your arthritis medicine stop you from treating your arthritis pain. Talk to your doctor. No pain reliever has been proven safer than Tylenol when used as directed. That's one reason why arthritis experts recommend the medicine in Tylenol Arthritis Pain as a first choice. For all-day relief without a prescription, ask your doctor about Tylenol Arthritis Pain. Stop. Think. Tylenol.
Tylenol Arthritis Pain lasts up to 8 hours. Use only as directed.
In these tough economic times, when the wages of America's working families are not even keeping up with increases in the cost of living, I can't tell you how downright inspiring it is to see the White House and Congress taking bold action to provide relief. Yes, thanks to our dedicated political leaders, the government will no longer deduct estate taxes from your multimillion-dollar inheritance, leaving you and all other rich heirs free to grab every dime left by your daddy big bucks when he kicked the bucket. What? You don't have a daddy big bucks? You're not getting a multimillion-dollar inheritance? Well, tough luck, sucker, for Washington's relief package does nothing for you. Fewer than 1% of people who died last year paid any estate tax at all. Indeed, half of the revenue generated by this tax comes from estates valued at more than $10 million. This is why Washington's repeal of the tax has been dubbed the Paris Hilton Benefit Act. While the estate tax is paid only by the richest of the rich, those people have recently become fabulously wealthier, so the tax on their wealth produces lots of money for our public treasury. It's calculated the total repeal of the tax, as pushed by Bush and congressional leaders, will end up taking hundreds of billions of dollars out of our treasury. Remember that Bush and company are also wailing that Social Security faces a budget shortfall over the next 75 years. To deal with this shortage, they want to raise grandma's retirement age and cut her monthly benefits, while also privatizing the Social Security system. Excuse me, but where is the morality in cutting back on granny's small retirement check while rushing to pad the huge inheritances of Paris Hilton and other elites who live on their parents' wealth? This is Jim Hightower saying, the powers that be rely on your not seeing the connection between a Washington action that pampers the rich and another one that slaps the workaday majority. But there it is.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative. Pickles on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Okay, let's see. A little email from JJ. I was curious, he writes, what ended up happening with the demonstration in support of the nurses out at the Beckley ARH. Aside from you guys at WWNR, that deal is getting zero coverage. By the way, Why does our local news seem to have to prove itself more inadequate every day, with the exception of 6:20 a.m.? I'm proud of the coverage we've given the issue. We live and die by the First Amendment here. If we can't support the First Amendment rights of ordinary citizens of this county, we aren't much. Now, you can take that analysis and apply it across the board. And if you think about it really hard, you can probably figure out why it's gotten coverage or hasn't gotten coverage in other forms of media. It's the stuff that's in your pocket. But again, I didn't have anything to do with it, but it made me very proud last night to find out that it had made it to Workers Independent News. And since that is heard all over the country, these nurses' problem is now known all over the country. For my part, it's just, I see it as very simple. I'm not concerned. Of course I'm concerned. But the issue for me is a First Amendment issue. Either these nurses have the same rights that are accorded to the rest of us under the First Amendment of the United States of America, or all people are equal and some people are more equal than others. Again, Animal Farm. And we just decide, it's up to us to decide which side we're on. Now, let's see, splcenter.org. splcenter.org. You can read a long treatise on this Neil Horsley monster. And here's a great quote from him. Domestic terrorism heralds the shape of things to come. And yet I will bet you, if you care to take the bet, and I will win the bet, I will bet you that he is not on any terrorist watch list in these United States. Why? He's a Republican, he's a white man, and he's doing Republican bidding. But rest assured, just like Timothy McVeigh, this man is a terrorist. But because this is a bigoted nation, the only terrorists we're concerned about are the brown ones. And that is, we already know from Oklahoma City that will cost us dearly. Eric Rudolph pled guilty in federal court, and while I'm not a death penalty proponent, he certainly was eligible. Where was the Bush administration? I'll tell you where the Bush administration was. Cowering under a table somewhere. If you blow up people and you're a white guy and you profess to be doing it in the name of Jesus, the death penalty doesn't apply. If you baptize your children in Texas with extreme prejudice, the death penalty doesn't apply. If you bash your children's brains in the name of Jesus, the death penalty doesn't apply. But then, of course, if you're a young black mother and you're begging for the very life of your son in a hospital, well, the death penalty does apply, and they just unplug him because you didn't have the money and you weren't a good, white, godly, upstanding Republican. You understand the standards that are at work here. Now, I have referred to this Horsley as a mainstream Republican, and I am sure that there are people on my side of the debate who heard me do that and say, "No, they're not, Bob. Not all Republicans are that way." Yeah, they are. Now, there are people out there who think they're Republicans who aren't really, who need to be with us on this side of the fight, but they have been conned into believing they're Republicans by a bunch of mean-spirited, politically opportunistic hooey. And no, they're not like that. But as long as they remain Republicans, they tacitly endorse the behavior of people like Neil Horsley. How much harder can it be to figure out. Now, we are told that the nuclear option, the Republican nuclear option in the Senate, could be triggered any day now. Oh, by the way, did you catch that a couple or 3 weeks ago when the Republicans came out lying and said, well, we never called it the nuclear option, and then immediately, yeah, they did. Soundbite after soundbite of Bill Frist, yeah, I call it the nuclear option. Tried to pin it on Democrats. What do you do with a group of people that has no passing relationship with honesty or the truth? And that would be your mainstream Republican Party. Now, I've pointed out a couple of times that the Republicans say, we just want an up or down vote on these judges in the Senate. They're entitled to an up or down vote. And again, if you look at Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, you will be hard-pressed to find anywhere in there a mandate, there's that word, for an up or down vote. It doesn't exist. They do what Republicans do. They lie. They just lie. And they expect to get away with it as long as they've got some silk-stocking, silk-suited, Savile Row tailored garment-wearing charlatans to tell people that it's the way Jesus wants things. Now, and I don't know if you realize this or not, just some things to contemplate when you hear these lying merchants of death and filth and destruction talking about things like this. When you hear a Republican say, well, you know, the Democrats try to give us a list of people they would confirm, and that's just blackmailing the president. You've heard that, right? Yeah. Little secret. The Republican Senate sent a list to Bill Clinton of judicial nominees they would accept. Again, how many times do I have to go over it? There is a standard for Republicans, and then there is a standard that's about 10 stories higher for Democrats. No, they just want an up or down vote in the Senate. And this is a beauty from the filthy little grand old pedophilia party, the GOP. What do they say? There's no reason a supermajority should be required to approve a presidential nominee for the bench. You've heard that one, right? Of course you have. Well, if all you were listening to was, you know, say Fox News, you might be convinced that no Republican had ever even dreamed of filibustering a judicial nominee or in any way blocking a presidential nominee to the bench or to any other position. You would be wrong. I have here in my hands a list. Let's go through it. Let's see. Here we go. Senator Wayne Allard, Republican, Colorado, blocked two of Clinton's judicial nominees from receiving an up or down vote. That would be James Lyons, 10th Circuit Court of Colorado, and Patricia Cohn, a district court nominee. Senator Robert Bennett, Utah, voted to filibuster 13 Clinton executive nominees and 5 State Department nominees. Senator Christopher Bond, Missouri, voted to indefinitely postpone a vote on Richard Pais's nomination to the federal court. Senator Sam Brownback, Kansas, voted to filibuster 3 Clinton nominees, 2 for judicial appointments. Senator Conrad Burns, Montana, voted to filibuster 10 Clinton executive nominees, 5 State Department nominees, indefinitely postponed a vote on Richard Pais's nomination to the federal bench. It goes on and on, page after page after page. Senator Tad Cochran of Mississippi voted to filibuster 11 Clinton nominees, voted to indefinitely postpone a vote on Richard Pais's nomination to the federal bench. Senator Larry Craig, Idaho Republican, filibustered 13 Clinton nominees. Two of those votes for filibusters were for judicial nominees. Voted to indefinitely postpone a vote on Richard Pies's nomination. It goes on and, oh, well, yeah, I'm not going to stop here. How about Senator Michael, now this, you know this guy's a Republican, Senator Michael Crapo of Idaho, voted to indefinitely postpone a vote on Richard Pies's judicial nomination after the Republican filibuster was broken by a cloture vote. Mike DeWine, Ohio, voted to filibuster three Clinton nominees. Two of the filibuster votes were for judicial nominees. Voted to block two nominees. Voted to indefinitely postpone a vote on Richard Pies's nomination. Pete Domenici, same thing. It goes on and on. Night after night, I tell you that Republicans are hypocrites. You hear that? You hear that? That's a big stack of paper covered with Republican hypocrisy. So at least remember, please, the next time you hear, oh, it's just want an up or down vote. Well, you know what? If we had a Democrat with just a little, who in his or her back had, instead of some sort of bilious goo, actually had a spine, they would stand up in the well of the Senate and call each of these filthy Republican senators by name and patiently explain that they just want an up or down vote now on these right-wing, ideologue, religious freaks, and just look at them and say, well, you know what, fellas? Little froggies want wings so they won't bump their little butts when they hop. These are the hypocrites who want to tear apart the rules of the Senate. It's what they are. It's what they do. Now, did you know Bob Byrd was in the Klan? Oh, God. Let's go back to the phones. JJ's with us. Hey, JJ, you're head on.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Doing good, you?
I'm all right. I just had a question about the filibuster thing. Weren't the Senate rules changed a while back so that now basically they pretend to filibuster instead of actually doing it?
Yeah, that much is true. I mean, you say, you know, we're going to filibuster, and it's, you sort of take it as read.
Okay, so why don't we change the filibuster rules back to the way they're supposed to be and make people actually have to work for this stuff?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I'm sure you've seen Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Yes.
That's that, you know, right, where you have to stand there and read the Bible for 100 hours.
Well, you know, one of the things that I really admire about Bob Byrd is he's a great orator.
Yeah.
He's wonderful at it. I mean, I'm sure that if no one else, he could stand up there and talk for, you know, 12, 14 hours.
Well, in his better day, maybe. I don't know if he could do it now just for reasons of health.
But the thing is, you know, there are some long-winded people in the Democratic Party that hold Senate seats, and they could, you know, really filibuster it and make the Republicans work to get out of the filibuster. But with the new rules and everything, it just seems kind of idiotic about, you know, oh, I'm going to pretend I'm up here to make a speech for 16 hours or whatever.
Well, I like a deliberative Senate, JJ. That's what it's that's what it's there for.
Right.
And just this is from Raw Story, and my God, the list on here of what these Republican Orrin Hatch's record, it takes up a half a page. John Kyle's record takes up the better part of a page. Trent Lott. You know, these guys filibustered all kinds of Clinton nominees, and now they think that because they've got this Republican megaphone, you know, Rush Limbaugh, Wiener, Savage, whatever, Hannity, the O'Reilly, all those creeps, that because they've got them just speaking their filth, that America will just bite and go, oh, okay, well, it's just an up or down vote.
Well, that's when we come back to people like Voltaire, who said something like, common sense isn't.
Yeah, H.L. Mencken's quote that eventually the people of the United States will get the president that they yearn for, a moron.
Yeah,
and it only took what, 80 years from the time he said it for that to come true.
Yeah, but I just wanted to ask about the filibuster thing. You have a good night, and I'll keep listening.
All right, thanks, JJ. Good to hear from you. Let's see. Yeah, let's Orrin Hatch. Oh, I've got a quote from Orrin Hatch. You remember Orrin Hatch, the guy who stood up for Slappy Thomas when it turned out that Slappy Thomas was a dirty-minded old man? Yeah. Senator Hatch said, and I quote, the confirmation process is not a numbers game, and I will not compromise the Senate's advice and consent function simply because the White House has sent us nominees that are either not qualified or controversial. There are a range of factors which make a nominee controversial or difficult to confirm, such as lack of experience or questionable information contained in materials not in the public domain or in their past records that may be at variance with the proper role of judges in society. He blocked the nomination of Clinton nominee Helene White to the Sixth Circuit in Michigan. He blocked the nomination of Clinton nominee J. Rich Leonard to the Fourth Circuit in North Carolina. Blocked the nomination of Clinton nominee Ricardo Morado to the Southern District of Texas. And not one of those nominees received a vote. Well, they just won an up or down vote. Are these Senate Republicans really as childish as they seem to let on? Are they so desperate to control everything in American government? Is despotism their real aim? Are they that hungry for it? Do they think that they are never going to lose power if they can just control all three branches for a little bit of time? Now, all these good, godly, upstanding Republicans, were they not paying attention to the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Sunday school when they were teaching them about do unto others as you would have others do unto you? Because someday soon, I think, we're going to have the bit in our teeth. Oh, but see, we're Democrats, and we wouldn't dare think about being as mean and rotten and filthy to the Republicans as they are. No, we'll... Once we've got the majority in Congress again, we'll reach that little olive branch out to the Republicans, and you know what? Because we're Democrats, and sometimes we have a hard time learning, we'll reach that little olive branch out, and once again, we'll draw back a bloody stump. James Inhofe, Oklahoma, blocked a Clinton nominee, Frank McCarthy, from receiving an up or down vote on his nomination to serve as a judge on the Northern District of Oklahoma. Let's skip forward. Trent Lott, Mississippi, like I said, better part of a page. He's the one that coined the phrase nuclear option, by the way. And he was in no rush whatsoever to confirm judges when he served as majority leader during the Clinton presidency. Try these on for size. When I go to my state or around the country, the last thing I hear people clamoring for is more lifetime tenured federal judges. Here's another one. Do I have any apologies? Only one. I probably moved too many judicial nominations already. Try this one on. When the Democrats think that all the president has to do is kick up some appointments to the federal judiciary and that we're just going to take them whole hog and pop them right out. Now, there's another Republican making animal references. Take them whole hog and pop them right out. Well, that's not my intent. There are not a lot of people in our state saying, give us more federal judges. I'm trying to move this thing along, but getting more federal judges is not what I came here to do. Boy, bring me a mint julep. Let's see. H. Alston Johnson was nominated to the Fifth Circuit in Louisiana. And Lott wouldn't even allow him to have an up or down vote. And he also voted to postpone a vote on Richard Pizes' nomination, even after the Republican filibuster was broken by a cloture vote. And, you know, the so-called Republican moderates, Richard Lugar, voted against cloture on the nomination of now Justice Stephen Breyer for the circuit court on 12-980, voted to filibuster 10 Clinton executive nominees and 5 State Department nominees. Then there's John McCain. Oh, he's a moderate Republican. Yeah, I like John McCain. I hate it when I hear Democrats. I like John McCain. When I hear Democrats say that, the little hairs just stand up on the back of my neck. McCain voted to filibuster 11 Clinton executive and judicial nominees, and twice voted against cloture for judicial nominees, H. Lee Sorokin to the Third Circuit in 10-494 and Richard Clifton to the Ninth Circuit on 7-18-02. Mitch McConnell, well, we know he's filthy. And Rick Santorum blocked three district court nominees, John Dingler Jr., Lynette Norton, and Robert Friedberg, all nominated for seats on the United States District Court. But you see, they think that they can just lie and say, oh, we believe they deserve an up or down vote. You can debate with someone who has an ideological difference. You can debate with someone who has any kind of different position. But when they want to begin the debate with a raft of lies, that debate you cannot carry on, because it's not a debate. It is a battle between truth and filth. And I don't know why the Republican Party wants to be the party of filth. Honest to God, I don't. Time for our top of the hour news break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Welcome to Green and Growing, the lawn care show with Bill Clutho.
Time's strange, our bodies process medications differently. That's why it's important to talk to your doctor or pharmacist about your medications. For a free brochure, as you age, guide to aging, medicines, and alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
WWNR Beckley, proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. It's Talk 620. WWNR Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
They lived happily ever after.
Another story.
Tiana, Daddy needs to finish his report.
What's your report about?
Well, in the land of work, the hero said, we can raise the profits with better distributions.
No, how much you care.
See, that was such a good story.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Saw some showers in the vicinity and a couple of rumbles of thunder off to the south and east. Will continue to clear out and put it to 64 by morning. South breeze overnight keeps the atmospheric moisture in place. Look for more sunshine, hazy sky, and 89 tomorrow. And the warmth of summer continues upper 80s by Thursday. The next shot of rain, not until Saturday and Sunday.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. For those of you not listening on the internet, you heard the story about Bush and the grenade. And for those of you who are listening on the internet, Georgian officials, and of course this is from Fox News, Georgian officials believe a grenade was thrown at the stage where President Bush was giving a speech Tuesday, prompting the U.S. Secret Service to investigate what could have been a deadly security breach. But wait, it's another one of those journalistic Ginsu commercials. There's more! The Secret Service learned of the possible grenade after Bush left the former Soviet Republic on Tuesday.
Georgia, I'm going to Georgia. I kind of like Atlanta. They got all them strip clubs.
No, Georgia, it's the Georgia where Joe Stalin came from.
He played for the Mets. Oh.
Yeah, the Secret Service learned of the possible grenade after Bush left the former Soviet Republic on Tuesday. Georgian authorities said a device. You know, grenades kind of look like grenades, don't they? I mean, they really don't look like anything else. They look like grenades. Whether it's an old German-style potato, what do they call it, potato masher? Or our little round pineapples. And you know the story, of course. We went for the pineapple design. It didn't have quite the oomph of the stick things that the Germans had. But we were a people who grew up playing baseball. So the grenade was designed so it could be more easily held in the hand and thrown like a baseball. Okay. The report stated that a Georgian security officer picked up the device and removed it from the area. Now, I've seen a lot of Warner Brothers cartoons. You can't carry an active working grenade that far. So he just picked it up and walked up. ABC, our top of the hour news, picked it up. And they did note the remark, he thought it was a grenade with the pin pulled, and he just picked it up and walked away with it. Which tells me it wasn't a grenade! But it's par for the course. Last week, the prating and the ballyhooing. Al-Qaeda number 3, captured in Pakistan. News at 11, blah, 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 blah. We report, you decide. Anybody catch the follow-up? The Al-Qaeda number 3? The story is a bunch of number 2. Al-Qaeda's number 3 guy wasn't captured. Wrong guy. Mistaken identity. You know, the stuff you get in Shakespeare's comedies. Thought it was him, but I thought it was Al Libby with an I, but it turned out it was Libby with the label with a Y. Yep. Complete fraud. Complete fake. No truth to it. And this has made how many... We've come to expect that, haven't we? I mean, I saw the story. It came out. I saw the picture. The guy looked like he looked like 10 miles of bad road, you know, beaten all to hell. And I just, and call me a cynic. I just started, you know, listen. Those are drumming fingers. I just started drumming my fingers, waiting for the other shoe to drop. And sure enough, you know, a week later, with no fanfare, it dropped. Wrong guy. Oops. Well, we beat the snot out of the wrong guy. Is that okay? Let me check the manual here. Yeah, it's okay to beat the snot out of the wrong guy. Now, commentary from the State Department, the Defense Department, the White House. Hear the crickets? Just throw it out there. See if it sticks. If it doesn't, throw something else. That'll stick. Barring that, we can always count on the mainstream media for continuing coverage of the Michael Jackson trial. The runaway bride! The runaway bride has checked into rehab. Team coverage tonight at 11. The men who framed the First Amendment, could they but see what passes for journalism in this country, would jump right back in the time machine, go back, nah, never mind, not worth it, let's go home. Think England would take us back? Good God Almighty. Guram Donadze, spokesman for the Georgian Interior Ministry, said no hand grenade was thrown close to Bush. This is absolute lie. This did not occur, Donadze told the Associated Press. Officials from President Mikhail Saakashvili's office were not... See, I'm a pro. I can say names like Saakashvili. ...were not immediately available for comment. Georgia's security service has been merged with the Interior Ministry. The White House referred the AP to the Secret Service for comment, who said, how do you like that? Jimmy Jeff Ganny Guck checked in Georgia and never checked in. Oh, God. It just hurts. It just hurts sometimes. An email from Eleni. Hi, Bob. Can you imagine Hillary Clinton up there reading a printout of the PNAC website before it got watered down and going through explaining it point by point? the subject matter of the subject line of the email. I'd love an old-fashioned filibuster. Or how about some other public information, like the text of Republican divorce papers or arrest records with a breakdown into layman's terms? I'm sure you can think of even better things Democrats could read during an old-fashioned filibuster that would be aired live on C-SPAN. Oh, yeah! Thanks, Eleni. Eleni's in Colorado. And a Democratic Underground member. If you haven't been there, run by Democratic Underground. It's another fun place. Yeah, other things? How about the indictments of Tom DeLay's associates from the circuit court down in Texas? Or how about, let's see, what would be good? Indictments are always a nice, indictments are always good. Or for that matter, a transcript of Neil Horsley. Chew Wilbur. Or perhaps the indictment of the BTK killer, a registered Republican. Or the indictment of the National Boy Scout leader for kiddie porn, or the Nashville Christian radio jock and his kiddie porn indictment. You know, you could filibuster the Republicans right out of the Senate just reading Republican indictments. Eleni's right. I hope I'm doing pronouncing your name right. I apologize if I'm not. Oh, it would. And you know, I got to wonder. I know the rules were changed where, you know, you could just, as we said, talking with JJ, you could just sort of take it as read that, you know, we're going to filibuster. Okay. Yeah, well, enough of that. And you don't have to do the filibuster. Did that happen? Did we change the filibuster rule because of lazy, ignorant Republicans? You see, as JJ noted, there are lots, and Eleni as well, there are lots of Democrats who could really hold their own in a filibuster. Hillary would be good. I have a sneaking suspicion Barack Obama would be an awesome filibuster. You know, maybe he could start off by reading Dr. King's letter from the Birmingham jail. That'd be good. That'd be really good. On the other hand, can you imagine one of those crazier than an outhouse rat Republicans like Rick Santorum trying to filibuster? Of course, I guess if he could come up with something that didn't have words in it with more than two syllables, maybe. But Republicans don't like filibusters, remember? But that's JJ and Eleni both have great ideas. And those great ideas are entailed in the idea, let Americans hear real oratory. Let Americans hear what greatness sounds like. How about a simple reading of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution? How about a reading of the Federalist Papers? It would damned well be more civics instruction than most Americans have ever gotten in their lifetimes. Federalist Papers? Yeah, I use them jokers. Sorry. Let's go to the phones. David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on. David.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I was reminded by your little retroactive history lesson. I was reminded that we've got this filibuster light nonsense going on. I'm sorry, I'm not in favor of diet filibuster. I want some red-faced guy just absolutely fired up with the courage of his convictions and two cups of, you know, Maxwell House coffee to hell with Starbucks. I want to see a guy up there, and I don't want to see him drinking no water out of no bottle. I want to see him pouring something out of a plastic pitcher that when he gets too tired to stand and he knocks it over, it won't break.
But it will splash.
But now, Bob, we've got to get genuinely serious here.
Okay.
This grenade, this business of our presidents being endangered, a life of the leader of the free world, according to Karl Rove, according to sources within the White House, denied by a legitimate government he's just spent a day and a half praising, sources within the White House say he's been in danger. And, Bob, there's only one legitimate solution to this. There's only one way to clear this matter up.
Bomb Georgia?
No, not that. No, Bob.
Sorry.
It's much more important than that. Bob, Moose and Squirrel must die.
Meanwhile, back in Frostbite Falls.
Exactly.
Bring me Moose and Squirrel.
And Squirrel must die. That's it, Bob. That'll save a free world, brother. Get to it. Spread the word. Let nobody's ears not be graced by the proclamation.
Oh, God. I love you guys. I can always count on you. A Bullwinkle reference. Have we ever had a Bullwinkle reference on this program? God bless you, David.
Don't you see George stepping to the podium? Nothing up my sleeve.
And now, Mr. Know-It-All.
There we have it. Yeah.
Oh, fractured fairy tales. And the thing, there was something out there, and I guess you had to have cable to catch it. It was CNN has this reporter, Jeannie Moss, M-O-O-S, Jeannie the Moose. And she specializes, I guess she's out of the New York Bureau, and she specializes in fluff stories.
Oh, golly.
But there was a fluff story in Georgia, David, that I caught once. And, during the day, CNN's pretty much on in the background.
Sure.
It only ran once.
Every room needs wallpaper.
Exactly. The story only ran once, but it was, what's the nickname for Jesco White?
Oh, Dancing Outlaw.
Yeah. This is the Dancing Idiot. Georgia is where Stalin came from.
Indeed, and which I've really been curious about.
And they do that really athletic, hardcore dancing where they're like, if you could imagine a catcher, Mike Piazza, having to throw out a runner heading for second every 15 seconds. Down and up and down and up and the kick of the leg. You know the one, and the arms in front like I Dream a Genie. You know the one I'm talking about.
It's euphemistically referred to in the Western world as the Russian bear dance.
Okay. I will take your word for it. Well, they had people doing that. And words fail me. For those listening, you got to go find the video of this if you can, if it's not already down the memory hole. Hard on the heels of holding hands and smooching with Prince Abdullah, with passed as prologue of the big wet sloppy he gave Joe Lieberman. With fresh in our memory, Laura's remarks about George and the horse.
Lest we forget an emotionally tinged, drenched in emotion drive in a Volga.
Yes. After all of this, there is video footage out there, and I don't want to offend anybody because I don't care what anybody's sexual orientation is. I really don't give a tinker's damn. But the only way for me to describe this is to say that George Bush was standing there on this dance floor with this idiotic, been way too far into the bottle of Stoli grin on his face,
which he does so very, very well and repeatedly.
I mean, we're talking Jimmy Buffett. I was God's own drunk and a fearless man. And standing there with his arms akimbo, his wrists bent with the palms up, okay? You with me so far? On his waist.
It's a visual I can see.
And his arms are akimbo out. And he is standing there, and the only, I looked at my lovely wife, and I said, what the hell do you call that? That's the Nancy boy dance. Sitting there with that simpering grin on his face, his wrists on his hips, wiggling his butt. And
brother.
David.
George's version of the chicken dance.
Yeah, but kinda. I mean, I wanted to pluck my eyeballs out, stick my head in a bucket of lime, run screaming off a cliff. I did. This was the President of the United States who looked like he was damned well ready to break into a rousing chorus of "I feel pretty."
I enjoy being a girl.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
Or Julie Brown singing "Cause I'm a Blonde, B-L-O-N-D."
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
You got to find it. I wouldn't even begin to know where to look. If anybody has a link to this,
yeah. I'm on a quest.
Please, I mean, the best part was Laura. He wasn't standing right next to Laura. Laura was standing about 2 feet, about 2 feet to starboard and one to stern.
Bob, I think it's been decades since he's been within 2 feet of Laura.
I think you're right. And in the middle of his Nancy dance, hey, look, I'm Nancy dancing. In the middle of his Nancy dance, David, Laura reaches out, takes him by the arm, and drags him away.
With a little something in the ear, try it like a man.
Oh my God! You know, I'm hard pressed, David. The guy's gay, and being gay is okay, but being a self-hating, self-loathing person like this Jim West out in Spokane, who oppresses people for their sexual orientation, I am convinced now more than ever that George Bush is gay.
I may not be as convinced as you are, Bob, but I would never deny it because there is so much circumstantial evidence. There are so many quacking, waddling, yellow-feathered signposts pointing toward the big word duck.
Duck.
There's just one webbed foot left to fall, and it's going to be right there.
Quack!
It's going to be one big old quack, brother. And it could happen. I swear it could. I mean, we got Gannett, Gernert, Goofit, whatever his name was,
Jimmy Jeff Gannyguck.
Precisely. The young man that wanted to tell everybody he was the serviceman, gay male prostitute, et cetera, et cetera. Now we got McClellan that's been in more gay bars than Boy George. Oh, and Austin, Texas, golly gee, where did the W spend several years? Oh, Drat Fudge Pichel, busted again.
Yep.
It could happen.
Well, and again, I don't care, except when it comes to the hypocrisy of tormenting other people for what they choose to do.
I can give chapter and verse on a hopeless canard, and I will stand convicted if anybody wants to just say, how could he say that? Some of my best friends are gay. I am not, I am straight, but I'm not narrow.
Yeah, right.
I can tell you that I could not care less what those folks do away from my time with them. But if someone is on one side of the street at 2 in the morning and on the other decrying that other side of the street at high noon, I have no respect. I have a great dislike. It could border on hatred with just a tiny extra bit of effort on their part. And I made a joke about the grenade in Georgia, and I did the,
Well, the grenade in Georgia is a joke.
It is a joke, but wait and watch. It will take no time at all for the thoughtful, introverted people that only hear what George has to say through his mouthpiece network like Fox. They will use that because how long has it been since we've had an orange or a red alert to cause America to love his stinking rear end? Golly gee, the election's over and we haven't heard a security alert since the election. Gee willikers, anybody thought of that lately? Well, we just had the security orange alert reinvented. Somebody has said W had a grenade thrown at him 24 hours after W left the building. And the news megaphone of the Republican Party will make this stick, and even if it's only subconscious, they'll cause a bunch of impressionable, shallow-thinking Americans to go, oh, we better vote for him again. We better do what we can. We need to throw over that routine about a third term because, well, we need to protect ourselves because our president might have had a grenade thrown at him day before yesterday when he left tomorrow.
And I tell you what, anybody who can throw a grenade at a guy who's been gone for 24 hours, I know one person who wants to know who that person is.
George Steinbrenner.
Bingo. Great minds think alike.
He's got a heck of an arm.
Yeah, sign him up.
He's a left-hander. He's got a career for life.
David, thanks so much.
Well, I know I beat the living daylights out of your quarter-hour break, but, you know.
Oh, that's all right.
That
was a whipping that it could take. Bring
Bob,
me, bring me head of moose and squirrel.
Thanks for letting me break the rules.
Oh, always a pleasure, David. Anytime. You take care.
See ya.
Later. All right, let's take our break. This is Head On. Moose and squirrel. I'm Bob Kincaid.
We got an issue in America. Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
Down the block just up your street.
State Farm agents Butch McNeely and Mullins, Susan Petrantazi and Beaver, and Bill Straub and Bankley have a great way to supplement your Medicare coverage with Medicare Supplement Insurance. Sure, Medicare offers great benefits, but it leaves gaps in coverage. Help fill those gaps with Medicare Supplement Insurance from State Farm agents Butch McNeely and Mullins, Susan Petrantazi and Beaver, or Bill Straub and Bankley. Proper planning can help protect your financial reserves from being spent on certain medical bills not covered by Medicare. For details on the cost, coverage, restrictions, and renewability of State Farm's Medicare Supplement Insurance. See your State Farm agents. For Medicare Supplement Insurance at State Farm Way, contact Butch McNeely and Mullins, Susan Petrantazi and Beaver, or Bill Straub and Beckley. These policies offered by State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company are not connected with or endorsed by the United States government or federal Medicare program.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Where there's a tornado,
where there's a forest fire,
where Mother Nature is at her worst,
where there's a search and there's a rescue,
where there are Americans in need,
where disaster strikes,
or one volunteer for
helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
This is America on the Road. Spring is the time for romance and potholes. We'll tell you what you can do about it next. Stay tuned.
A Driving Today Minute. Now that gasoline prices are reaching a record level, some people are panicking. Happily, there are things you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy says, keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds. So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life. This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners like autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
This is Jack Nieland. The transition from winter to spring brings with it the melting of snow and ice, and that in turn creates one of your car's worst enemies, potholes. Caused by repeating cycles of freezing and thawing, potholes can damage a vehicle's wheels, tires, and suspension. Damage to any of these key components can result in a safety hazard, so the Car Care Council recommends that you have your car's shocks and struts checked to make sure no damage has occurred due to unfortunate encounters with potholes or from simple wear and tear.
This is Mike Hansen. A vehicle's shock absorbers and struts help control how it rides and handles. The car's springs absorb the road bumps, and while the shocks dampen the natural up-and-down bouncing motion of the springs in use. Struts are one-piece units that incorporate both springs and shock absorbers. Without the damping provided by the shocks or struts, your vehicle would continually bounce and bound down the road, making driving extremely difficult. Why? Because the instability caused by the motion affects steering, stability, and braking. If your vehicle bounces or sways noticeably during stops or in turns, you might need new shock absorbers or struts.
It doesn't take long to check them, so do that, and we'll have more next time on America on the Road from CPS.
WWNR Beckley.
Here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Don't you wish? Just the facts, ma'am. We got the real deal here. You want the misinformation? You know where to go. His name's Flimball. His name's Wiener. His name's O'Reilly. Oh, really? His name is Hannity Bortz. More misinformation than you can shake all kinds of things at. This is not happy news. Just off of the Associated Press wire. The Senate has given unanimous approval to an emergency spending bill that contains almost $76 billion dollars for military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. It brings the cost of fighting terrorism since 9/11 to more than $300 billion. $300 billion for a damned lie. The bill increases from $12,000 to $100,000, which is a good thing, the one-time benefit for survivors of troops killed in combat zones. It applies retroactively to October of 2001. However, and we've got to give credit where credit is due, Jim was right. You remember a long time ago when we talked about the National ID bill? What did Jim tell us? He said, Bob, they'll slip it into a supplemental appropriations bill and we won't even know when it's been passed. Senate Democrats criticized the inclusion of the immigration provisions in the spending bill, saying they never had the chance to discuss them. Now, this is the same Senate that wants to force those rules on everything else. No chance to discuss them. I don't know why, but the Republican members of that august body have this burning desire to be the House of Representatives, where you get to talk about something for a minute before you vote on it, if you're lucky, with these pigs in control. And that immigration provisions, guess what you get? You get a national ID. Here it comes. This isn't the black helicopter hovering outside the window. And your tinfoil helmets are not going to avail you much. But, I'd say 5-10 years. Yeah, if that long. You will hear the phrase, I regret to inform you your papers are not in order. And this is not some joke about moose and squirrel. Great God Almighty, I wish it was some joke about moose and squirrel. I do. I really, really do. But tucked away into $76 billion for military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan is the National ID card provision.
Uniform standards for state driver's licenses.
And the bill includes a presumption that your identifying documents are not in order and requires states to verify your documents. So take some guy born in Texas who wants a driver's license in New Hampshire and brings out his Texas driver's license, and his Texas birth certificate. The presumption is that those documents are fraudulent. Whatever happened to the Republican Party that used to say,
well, we got to cut down on government bureaucracy?
Guess what? They had their fingers crossed. Your papers are not in order. It is regrettable. Would you please put on this blindfold and get into the automobile? I'm told it is very warm and pleasant where it is that you are going. But, you wingnuts get so mad when I use the F word. No, you dirty-minded people. Fascism! That is the F word. Fascism. Now, I remember when the militia movement was willing to blow up federal buildings over perceived Clintonian threats. And people holed up in houses and had gun battles and stuff over the idea that somehow their right to free travel among the several states had been impeded. What happened to states' rights, Republicans? A uniform standard for a national uniform standard for state driver's licenses? Sounds to me like the several states' rights to determine what a driver's license constitutes or is constituted of just went down the toilet. But that's okay with ever so many Americans. No big deal. We can give up those rights. We weren't using them anyway. Who needs a First Amendment? Who needs a Fourth Amendment, a Fifth, a Sixth, a Seventh?
Them's not rights. Them's technicalities. What them criminals use to get off.
No, Sunshine. Those are the rights guaranteed under the Constitution of the United States. And your forebears fought and bled and died for them. And a gang of Republican punks just flushed them down the toilet. I can rant and rave and carry on, and a lot of it's fun. This isn't fun. This isn't fun at all. I know, you know, there are other identification databases throughout the United States. Your Social Security number comes to mind. But you gotta wonder who's gonna help build this database. Who's already keeping track of Americans privately on a Defense Department contract? Because federal law says that the government can't do it itself. Who would that be? That would be Choice Point. Who compiled the list of voting while black so that people could be eliminated from the voter rolls in Florida in 2000? That would be Choice Point. Want to bet who's going to get this contract? That would be Choice Point. What's the Fourth Amendment say? The right of the people to be secure in their persons, papers, and effects? When I'm databased by Choice Point, who apparently can't keep their information from being hacked and stolen, I'm not feeling so secure in my persons, papers, and effects. And I realize the so-called strict constructionists, you know, the fat Tony Scalia, Slappy Thomas, those guys, they probably don't consider electronic data to be papers. But it is. It's your information. It's information about you. And you are not secure in your papers and effects. And as a result of that, you are not secure in your person. Be afraid, America. Be very afraid. There's nothing good will come of this. All quiet in America. Because, you know, we're waiting with bated breath to find out whether the scandal's going to pan out on American Idol.
Did Paula Abdul sleep with that guy? Did she? We're all waiting to know.
Who's Donald Trump going to fire? We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union.
Boring! Boring!
Enough to make you cry. It is. Stand by a minute. We're going to have a minute of dead air. I'm going to reach across here. Who have I got?
Who's this, Bob?
Yeah, it's Bob.
Hey, Skip, how you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. You?
Oh, I just wanted to make one final comment, something I'm seeing on Bravo tonight.
Yeah.
And it's to Sir Elton John.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, or maybe you could just say a kind word for him. Because that man's done a hell of a lot of good for people.
Yeah, he has. And boatload of great music and a heart, as far as I can tell, a heart as big as all outdoors.
Got it.
We were taking your name in vain, though, Jim.
Oh, why?
I was just telling folks, it just came across the wire. The Senate tucked the National ID bill into a supplemental appropriation for the Iraq War, and it passed tonight.
Oh, I knew it would.
It did.
Oh, I knew it would. Of course it will. I told you that 2 months ago, didn't I?
Yeah, that's what I mentioned.
Well,
you know, you mentioned Elton John. I think we've even got it in our system somewhere. He did a piece called "Funeral for a Friend."
Oh yeah,
I believe
that was one of the second albums. First album I ever brought was you had your song, in Daniel.
Yeah.
Well, in 1970, I was just 25 years old.
I'm thinking maybe "Funeral for a Friend" might be applicable to the United States Constitution at this point.
Okay.
Kind of hurts my heart.
Well, listen, you know, it's not there yet. But anyway, I know it. But if you could find it, just to make a favorable reference to him closing tonight.
Oh, to Elton John! My goodness gracious! How many kinds of favorable references can there be? I mean, the way he reached out. What was the little boy's name? Ryan White. Ryan White reached out to that child as he lay dying of AIDS. You know, through no fault of his own, so to speak.
Oh, I've lost so many friends.
I know, Jim, And to know that there are people like this, you know, I've got this biography here of this Horsley character that we were talking about. You know, he advocates capital punishment for gay people.
Oh God!
You know, that's what we're dealing with. I mean, this guy would slaughter Elton John. You know, it didn't do so great on the Billboard charts, but you know, one of my favorite albums of his was Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
And the one song, Better Off Dead.
Right.
Great, great, great little piano line there.
He's got a new one, Peachtree Road.
Yeah, because he's a resident of Atlanta now.
Right. Well, you know, he's got many homes. That rocker has made a lot of money, but he's certainly shared it with a lot of people. He's helped AIDS a lot.
Yes, he has.
But if you could just make a favorable reference to him for my request.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be most grateful. I don't have to come on your show.
That's all right. It's always a pleasure hearing from you, Jim.
If you'll leave me on, I appreciate it.
Be more than happy.
God bless you.
You as well. John, yeah, let's find it. Can you? It should be in there. You know, at the same time that we've got the National ID bill going through, Congressman John Conyers authored a letter. Not a lot of traction being had so far. I think Tribune Media Services picked up this story from London that I told you about. And Congressman Conyers and 83 other members of Congress have written to George Bush, and he says, "Dear Mr. President, we write because of troubling revelations in the Sunday London Times apparently confirming that the United States and Great Britain had secretly agreed to attack Iraq in the summer of 2002, well before the invasion, before you even sought congressional authority to engage in military action. While various individuals have asserted this to be the case before, including Here's the list. Paul O'Neill, former U.S. Treasury Secretary. Richard Clark, former National Security Council official. They've been previously dismissed by your administration. However, when the story was divulged last weekend, Prime Minister Blair's representative claimed the document contained, quote, nothing new, unquote. If the disclosure is accurate, it raises troubling new questions regarding the legal justifications for the war, as well as the integrity of your own administration. Prime Minister Tony Blair chaired a July 2002 meeting at which he discussed military options, having already committed himself to supporting President Bush's plans that already existed for invading Iraq. As a result of this recent disclosure, we would like to know the following. Do you or anyone in your administration dispute the accuracy of the leaked document? Were arrangements being made, including the recruitment of allies, before you sought congressional authorization to go to war? Did you or anyone in your administration obtain Britain's commitment to invade prior to this time? Was there an effort to create an ultimatum about weapons inspectors in order to help with the justification for the war, as the minutes indicate? At what point in time did you and Prime Minister Blair first agree it was necessary to invade Iraq? Was there a coordinated effort with the U.S. intelligence community and or British officials to fix the intelligence and facts around the policy as the leaked document states? Remember, it says the facts were fixed. So can we finally put to bed all this silly claptrap about how Bush didn't lie? Can these godforsaken Republicans who absolutely got their knickers in a twist over the simple statement of I did not have sex with that woman, can they finally come to... How about the quotes from George Bush where he said, no decision has been made to go to war in Iraq, or war is my last option. How about those? Those were lies. So the next time you hear some... addle-pated mumble monkey talking about how George Bush didn't lie. Yes. Yes, he did. And since we did put up an, well, it was an inquisition of impeachment. The conclusion was foregone that there would be an impeachment of William Jefferson Clinton based upon that statement, I did not have sex with that woman. Since we did that, can we please crank up the impeachment committee for Mr. Bush? Out of that simple statement, I did not have sex with that woman, no one died. Out of George Bush's statement that I have not decided to go to war in Iraq, over 1,600 are now dead. Those are just the American soldiers. There are 100,000 dead civilians, most of them women and children, in Iraq. Can we please let justice take its course now? And pursuant to Jim's request, there are a lot of good, a lot of good things to say about someone like Elton John. Not the least of which is he did not support this war. And so many other good things. And now he lives in a red state, and maybe he's making that state just a little bit less red by his presence. Georgia. Jethro's with us. Hey, Jethro, you're head on. Good to hear from you.
Bob, how's it going?
Pretty good. Who am I kidding? It's crazy.
Yeah, the Iraq War. You know, now you're hearing of another new offensive over 2 years after, major combat operations are claimed to be over.
Yeah, Operation Matador.
Yeah, and it's they're having all these new offensives, one after the other, but then they're going to turn around and tell you how good things are going, and actually it's a disaster over there.
Yeah, freedom's on the march.
And now we're finding out that they're giving the Marines...
Yeah,
that will not stomp around.
Yeah, the defective flak jackets.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are the ones that have to have the ceramic panels in them, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. They're supposed to stop, the specs on them, they're supposed to be able to stop a rifle round if they have the ceramic panels in them, but even without the ceramic panels, they're supposed to be able to stop a 9mm pistol round, and they can't do it.
Yeah, who wants to take a chance on whether it's going to work or not?
But here's the fun part, Jethro. They've been recalled. Now, what are they being replaced with? I've read a dozen stories on it, and I've not seen one story that says the Marines are being provided with new and certifiably working condition armor in the interim.
Right, more troop support. and then last week, you know, or whenever it was, when Laura came out with her big comedy routine talking about, you know, the president and his whatever he was doing with the bull.
Horse, yeah.
Horse, whatever, yeah, trying to milk it. but, you know, but the thing about that, the sad part was there was not one word mentioned about the Iraq War or the men, the kids that were over there fighting.
You're absolutely right. Not one blessed word about, not even, and our hearts really go out tonight to the Marines in Al Anbar province. Not a word.
Not even a thank you for all of their valiant efforts.
And that's because they're not, to a Bush, Jethro, soldiers are not real flesh and blood things. It's a game you play, just like George played it when he was protecting El Paso from the Viet Cong.
Right. Well, next in line, you know, you're going to treat the soldiers like that. Next in line is the American worker, because, we're in the process, and the middle class, we're in the process of being taken down now, so.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and it's just going to be, there's going to be a huge supply of cheap labor.
But it's not fascism.
Oh, no. But if they could have everybody working for the rest of their lives for $5.15 an hour, having a cheap labor force that, you know, basically to provide for the rich, the haves and the have-nots, that's where we're headed to, unfortunately.
It's not a place I want to go, and I'm willing to fight to make it not happen.
Well, if it continues like this, I don't really see any way out of it. I mean, when is it going to come to a head? When does the madness stop? Will it ever stop?
Oh, let's see. The Dow was down, 111, 119 today?
Exactly. And you've got documentation from the British saying, you know, Bush knew, Bush was lying the whole way about the war and about the threat of Iraq and everything else. But that's like, ho-hum.
Well, no, they literally said, the press office said that was nothing new in the document. In other words, we've known all along that this was all a lie. Why are you bringing it up now?
Right. So we've already, the public's already swallowed this lie whole. Keep swallowing, you know. Don't ask questions. And you've got a big segment of the American populace that are swallowing whole.
And they'll swallow a mountain and gag on a gnat.
You know, I mean, take, for example, our head-on, our list.
Oh, I know.
Writing.
I know. And the idea, freedom, what did I hear that in a few years an American president's going to stand in Freedom Square in downtown Baghdad and address hundreds of thousands of free screaming Iraqis as they say, thank you, George, thank you. Ain't going to happen, Jethro.
Yeah, they're getting all of our money. They're going to give, it's okay to give all that money to the Iraqis, but when we're needing it here at home, don't worry about it.
You think $76 billion might go a long way toward funding universal health care? I mean, I'm just crazy that way. But
sure.
Yeah, sure.